I have two special guests with me in the studio this morning. Kirsten Cruikshank, who many of you will probably know, and also Tim Anderson are here with a program that I'm going to call CERNTR right now, which is the acronym for it, and we will get into what that means exactly. But first, let's check your mic. So thank you, Kirsten and Tim, for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Good. So both your mics are working. And let's just dive right in here. Kirsten, can you explain what CERNTR stands for and what you two are working on right now?
Sure. So CERNTR stands for Community Engaged Rural Dementia and Alzheimer's Research. And what we are working on is basically there's research that shows that dementia is an issue in rural areas, and there's basically a lack of research on what it's like to live with Alzheimer's and dementia in rural areas. So we're gathering information through qualitative interviews with people to find out more about what it's like to live with dementia in rural areas. And we are part of the University of Minnesota Medical School, the Duluth campus, and part of the Memory Keepers Medical Discovery Team. And the CERNTR program has kind of grown out of that to look into this issue.
Wow. Tim, do you have anything to add to that?
I think that's a pretty good description. I will add that our long-term goal is to put in for a grant with the National Institutes of Health and hopefully become a sustainable research center. We would be, my belief is, the first rural dementia-focused research center in the country. So that would be something that would be very beneficial to our community. We are focusing right now on northern Minnesota. Throughout northern Minnesota, we're looking for possible participants into a variety of projects, including the one Kirsten mentioned. We're also looking at a exercise-based program as well as a wristwatch-like device, which we can get into later, but that's a good start for for now.
Yeah. So seems like the obviously memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's, those have been growing concerns in recent decades, and I always, you know, there's part of me that's always wondering, like, how much of this is the fact that we have an aging population and people, many people live longer and they live much longer, and how much of this is potentially an environmental problem, or is that sort of the impetus of why you exist in the first place? Is this growing question of what's exactly happening, or are you more focused on what to do about it, or maybe both?
Well, I think if you do look at the data, Minnesota, particularly in the north, is projected to have quite a growth in the percentage of the population that is considered elderly, even more so than surrounding states. So if we look at the projections for the next 15, 20 years, so that's something we want to kind of get ahead of. A lot of this, to be honest, is we're looking for people to, or as a community, kind of looking to break the stigma while talking about ADRD, Alzheimer's disease, and related dementias. So there's a variety of issues kind of driving our work.
Yeah, definitely. As the population of older adults increases and as our healthcare technology keeps people living longer, memory is just going to become an increasing concern. I mean, it already is, but it'll just keep increasing. And the reality is that even when we're experiencing memory loss as we age, there's still quality of life issues that we can focus on, and people can still live a good life. We can learn lots of caregiver support strategies. So there are ways to still live in the community even with dementia. And what we're trying to find out is, how are people doing that? How, you know, what's the what's the key to aging successfully with dementia and caring for people? And so when we do extensive interviews with people, we do interviews that last from an hour to 2 hours. We'll even schedule a second interview to make sure that we're capturing all the information that we want to capture from people. And part of what we ask is, what are the challenges? But we're also asking, what are the strengths in rural communities that are keeping people living successfully as they age?
Wonderful. So you are sort of actively recruiting right now. And maybe that's part of the reason for being on the radio, is for listeners to be thinking, who might you be interested in talking to?
It is, definitely. Because we are reaching out to rural areas, sometimes it's challenging to find people that are willing to be interviewed. So right now, we're actively looking for people who are caregivers. That would be spouses or adult children of people with Alzheimer's that are caring for them in rural communities. And when I say rural communities, I mean basically anything in northern Minnesota outside of Duluth.
Yeah.
We're, you know, we'd love to find the more remote people, but as we all know, northern Minnesota is kind of a vast, vast area. And so the family caregivers, we are also looking to interview healthy older adults to find out what their challenges and successes are in aging well. We also want to interview physicians and healthcare leaders. We already have interviewed a number of social workers and caregiver consultants and people that we consider as key informants of the kind of the service community. But we're open to interviewing more of them too. So lots of different people.
Yeah, just so anyone kind of who is involved in this in some way. And you did mention caregivers of Alzheimer's patients. Do you also there's Alzheimer's, there's dementia, and there's, you know, mild cognitive impairment. There's just so many layers of it. And are you interested in all these layers, or are you focusing in particular on one of them at this juncture?
No, we're open to any kind of memory loss.
Okay.
And it doesn't really need to be an official diagnosis from a physician either. I mean, we are interested in seeing what it's like for people with a diagnosis, as well as those that maybe don't have an official diagnosis, but they're, struggling.
Yeah. And now your focus on rural, and I see from your website also Indigenous communities. Is that because of that's where we are, so we want to help where we are? Or is there something that's inherently different about rural and urban communities, or why the focus on the rural?
You speak about rural versus Indigenous, or rural versus...
Well, both. Well, what I understand is that you're working on both Indigenous and rural communities, which obviously would be the same sometimes.
Exactly, yeah. We do have another project. It's called iCare, led by Dr. Melissa Blind, who's the project coordinator. I should mention Dr. Kristen Jacklin and Dr. Wayne Worry are kind of the leaders of the Memory Keepers Medical Discovery Team, which is ultimately is the name of the organization we work for. We're certainly not trying to limit participation by any kind of status. That's for sure. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I was representing CERDR at the Honoring Elder Wisdom Conference in Walker, Minnesota. I believe that was at the Northern Lights Casino. And there's definitely an overlap there.
But it's mostly your attempt to get out of Duluth. I mean, that's why rural and Indigenous. So you're not just wanting to go where it's closest. You're wanting to spread yourselves out. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, a lot of our targets are towns under a population of 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. And then is it jumping the gun to ask, so what are you finding? What kinds of intriguing new questions are coming up? Or, can you speak at all to what you've discovered so far?
Yeah, Kristen's probably done more interviews than I have. Well, I know she's done more than I have, but I think, as I touched on earlier, there is a certain stigma about talking about this issue. I think we're also finding that because of that, people may delay seeking care, which might relieve or at least temper certain problems down the road. But mm-hmm. I'll let the experienced interviewer Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen, you'll tell us what how are these interviews going?
You know, it's going great because people are usually happy to share their experience, and so we can gather a lot of rich information from people, you know, like I said before, about the challenges as well as the gifts sometimes that it brings in caring for people.
Yeah.
It's a little too soon to tell. Our goal is to conduct 100 interviews over the next few months as part of our pilot phase. We're still in the pilot phase of this project. And through those 100 interviews, we'll be gathering a lot of information, obviously. We have researchers who go through the transcripts and look for certain key themes. And so over the next few months, we'll be doing more of that. And we're really focused right now on asking the questions. And but, you know, as Tim said, in the long run, we really hope to be a resource in the region for helping people with dementia.
And what kind of questions do you ask?
Oh, we ask a lot of questions. We ask, basically, we begin with asking about the rural nature of the community that people live in, whether that's a community, a neighborhood, a farm community. You know, we want to know about what's the nature of the community.
Yeah.
And then we move into asking what it's like to live with dementia there, what kind of health care is available, what kind of community resources are helping people to cope. We also ask about the challenges in the families or with, it's what are the barriers to getting health care? Transportation is usually something that pops up in almost every interview in the rural area.
Yeah.
And so we ask about things like that. And
do you ask, you know, just sort of basic, like, what gets you up in the morning, or what are your favorite foods? I mean, stuff like that, or is that just, that's not really so much the focus?
Yeah, probably not that specific, but
okay.
But we do want to know what people's perceptions are about, you know, perceptions and language. Like, what are some ways that we're describing living with dementia or memory loss? What are some solutions that people are looking at?
Right.
What are, as you asked earlier, you know, are there causes that people believe in that are causing the memory loss? We're very open-ended, and we're very, you know, much looking at what those perceptions are as much as what's going on.
And I find it interesting that, like, you obviously spend a lot of energy on sort of the community, like, what kind of community do you live in? Here we are in a rural community. The obvious implication of that is that, you know, the social life of someone is a factor here. I mean, I think that would be an assumption that you're really working on, is like, how can that be helpful? What is particularly difficult? You know, like, I'm guessing it's really difficult to live way far away from anybody in your own little world if you have dementia and without a lot of connecting resources to your community. Maybe that's wrong, maybe that's right, but that's sort of what I'm hearing from you, I think.
I think that's fairly accurate. I would also say there's a lot of strengths we're finding, though, with living in smaller, more rural communities, for example.
You're actually more connected because you have your stronger neighborhood base.
I mean, there are there's people who may have cognitive problems, but the whole community, to a certain extent, might be aware of this and is willing to kind of keep an eye on this individual. Like if somebody
right.
is wandering, maybe, the local.
Right, if you're a known person in your town.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it actually might be a lot safer than being in the middle of the city.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very
yeah.
interesting.
There's a lot of community supports that are informal, whether it's through your church or maybe it's your car mechanic, or maybe it's the neighborhood cafe. You know, when people have changes in their memory, a lot of times they're just accepted and supported by the community,
right.
and that's a great thing to see. But we also want to make sure that people are safe. So safety is a concern, too. We're trying to gather information about that as well.
Yeah. Do you have any stories that stand out that you'd like to share of either, inspirational or challenging stories or something that would sort of help people see the detail of what you're talking about? Kind of putting you on the spot there. You may not have stories, but I thought I'd ask.
Well, I've heard a common theme of, if you were having trouble with your property, say there's flooding or a fire, in a lot of communities, the whole town would be there to help you out. And that's kind of a lot of what we're hearing. Kristen, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some great stories, and I kind of feel like those are for our participants to tell, so
mm-hmm.
it's hard for me to relay stories, but I do know that it's always a pleasure to hear about the strengths of people, sometimes well into their 90s that they're able to adapt and live.
And one thing I wanted to, sorry to step on your toes there.
Ahead.
One thing I wanted to quickly add is that these interviews are completely anonymous. We do everything in our power to keep information private. We even do a process called member checking, where we have coders that will look at the transcript, return the transcript to you if you are interested, and you can review what you said and take out anything you might not like or add anything you feel should be added.
Mm-hmm. So they're very private.
So we go through an extensive consent process mm-hmm. first to let people know exactly what's involved in the research. And we do record the interviews, so we want to make sure we have
right.
people's permission to record them. And then we go through a process of de-identifying the interviews so that it's all confidential, like Tim said.
Yeah. I have one more question. It's just, how has this affected you? I mean, Kristen, I hear enthusiasm in your voice when you talk about this with me. And I'm just real curious, this isn't the kind of thing that most people would find an invigorating process, but yet I hear a lot of energy in your voices about this.
Well, there are, one thing we know for sure from research is that social connections, exercise, nutrition, those are things that can help keep our minds and bodies healthy as we age. And the more we find out about that, the more I think it can inform us in living a healthy lifestyle and exercising, eating well, staying connected, and how important those things are.
So it's not anything brand new, but it's more confirmation of those things that we know to be true. Kim,
yeah.
you were going to add something.
I would just quickly add that this is an environment of team science, which is, if you're in a research background, most people or a lot of researchers work individually. So it's kind of invigorating to bounce ideas off of your or with your colleagues and just work as a team. So this is a position I've had a lot of joy in. I enjoy going out into the community, and by all means, please reach out to us. And also, you can check us out at ruralmemory.com. That's a place where you could sign up and possibly participate in a project.
Great. I'll say that again, ruralmemory.com. That's an easy way to remember, because I would love for listeners to follow up if they're interested in learning more. Is there anything I have forgot to ask or you'd like to mention before we sign out here?
No, just to say that at ruralmemory.com, you can sign on to what we call a registry, and we would that's basically giving us permission to contact you and see if you're eligible and interested in our studies. So we would love to see more people sign up.
How long is this going to go on? Is this a long-term thing, or just the next few weeks or months? Or
yes, we have money for at least 3 years, and then we will be putting in the for the grant, which will hopefully keep us sustainable. But I intend to be with this project for the long haul.
Okay, so ruralmemory.com, is that right?
Correct.
Whew, Fish got that right. All right, well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with me in the studio this morning, and good luck with your project.
Thank you.
I appreciate you having us. Thank you.
You bet. That was Tim Anderson and Kristen Cruikshank working with the organization project on memory called CERTR.